Oh, bless the Lord. I've got people praying all over the area for me, all over the country, that I would be able to still be speaking tonight. I'm amazed. God's good. I still have a voice. And it's very loud and booming right up here now. Whew. Thank you very much. Oh, what a joy. What a day to spend in the house of the Lord. I mean, it's been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable. I put on my Facebook, I was going to be in church 5 times today. Preached 5 times. Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you what. I told Pastor Mike we should do this next Sunday. Well, at least he should. But I had a wonderful time this afternoon with Pastor Boris and that wonderful congregation. What a great time. He made me sound good. I don't know what sermon he was preaching, but it sure was good. But what a wonderful time. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that. And, of course, always to be with Pastor Mike and Renee. What an incredible blessing they are to me. I told them I told him while we were both sitting in his living room this about an hour or so ago, looking like zombies, watching the Weather Channel, how much I do appreciate so much. What a blessing it always is for me to come here to First Assembly in DeLand and be with you and be with Pastor and his wife. And it's a great joy, and I appreciate everything. I even like all you that are on my Facebook and every now and then say hello, say nice things. Please say nice things. You know, because other people read that, and I want to try to trick them into thinking that I have friends. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it's Pentecost! Oh, that took a lot out of me. That was a lot easier in the first service. Oh, what a wonderful day. We're ahead of the wave. We're on the front side of the wave. The rest of the country is going to celebrate it after the fact, after the wave crashes and runs up on the ground. They're going to celebrate next Sunday. But we're ahead of the wave. We're riding. And I believe that God wants to do something incredible around this altar tonight. Pastor and I have talked about it, and we're just believing God for a move of His Spirit at this altar tonight. And I have prayed and studied and prepared, and I have more things to say than I can shake a stick at. And I just hope that some of them relate to each other. So it'll be something of a message. But I have prayed and I've said, God, just help me to stay out of the way. I don't want to get in the way of what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do tonight. Because God, it is Father's heart. It is the passion of our Father to fill His people with Holy Spirit. Never has been God's heart to give His Spirit to some and not to others. Never has been His desire that some people experience just the Holy Spirit in their conversion experience, but never go on to experience that overflowing fullness of God that He has for everyone. It's always Father's heart that every single child of God experience an overflowing, empowering presence of the Spirit of the Lord in their lives. In Acts chapter 1, I'm not preaching yet. I'm going to, when I go back there, then I'm preaching. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You will receive a divine enabling, an explosiveness." You know what? We need more explosiveness in the church. We need people who are... I am still really kind of ringing and echoing, and it could just be me. I've never preached 5 times in one day. So maybe that happens. I don't know. But what? Do you remember what I was talking about? Yes. We needed that explosiveness. We need people of God who are filled with the dunamos of God, the power, the explosiveness, the dynamite of God, so that when they come into situations, all the works that the enemy have done are blown apart because they are a people of the Spirit. And the river of life, the power of the Spirit of God flows through them, not because of who they are, but because of the power of the Spirit of God in them. It is God's desire. I'm getting back here closer, so I should start preaching soon. But it is Father's desire to move us. In fact, you cannot and I cannot achieve all that God wants us to achieve. We cannot achieve it. We cannot go to the dimension that God wants us to go to. We cannot be as effective as God wants us to be until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, please hear me. I did not say that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be more effective than someone else who hasn't received the Holy Spirit's fullness yet. I didn't say that. I'm saying that we as individuals will become more effective as we press into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, that's a signal to begin to turn there. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, is the account of Philip. In fact, I wish I had time tonight to talk about it, but you can go all the way back to chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 are just this incredible account of the early church establishing some deacons in the church, some people that just waited on tables. They were just people that were set apart, recognized by the body to do the work of ministry as far as the practical areas of ministry. To visit people, to wait on tables, to take care of the widows and those that were poor. And they established them, and the apostles said, make sure you find men and women that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. The early church understood that it doesn't matter what you do in the house of God, you need to be a person who's full of the Holy Ghost. And we see this account of the selecting of Stephen and the great work that he did and the way that he, just this waiter on tables, just this, not a minister of the gospel, just a waiter on tables, just one of the people that whenever he spoke, no one could resist the power and the effectiveness that he spoke from because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And then the other one was Philip, who was just called to wait on tables. And when the persecution came and they were scattered abroad, Philip went, wherever he went, he just preached the gospel. And it seems like every place Philip goes, revival breaks out. Full of the Holy Ghost. Well, it says in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, I think. Yes. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and that the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and the miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they prayed for them, or when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed his hands on their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given, what did Simon see? That he recognized that they had had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What did he see? He saw the evidences of it. As you read through Scripture, you find that in nearly every account of someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. It was a sign that God had given that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And even in the places where it's not mentioned like this, we have this strange word that when Simon saw it, that the giving of the Spirit was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. He said, give me this ability that everyone whom I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. He sought this same power. And then, of course, you remember Peter's wonderful address to him. I'm not going to get into that yet tonight. What I want to talk to us about real quickly is just reminding us that there is a second work of the Spirit of God that He has for every believer. The Scriptures make it clear. In fact, it starts off with John the Baptist. As John is baptizing in the Jordan River and Jesus comes to be baptized, and John says two things about Him. John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's God's great gift to humanity, that Jesus came that He might take away our sins. Not that He just will cover over them, but that He will lift them up, pick them up on His shoulders, and carry them away and bury them in the deepest sea. He will remove them as far as the east is from the west. They will be removed out of God's sight. They will be removed out of God's memory. That's God's wonderful gift. That's the great work of Jesus on the cross. But then He also says, not only is He the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, He goes on to say, this is the one who will baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. That's God's wonderful gift to His church. Jesus let us know that the Holy Spirit's works in us in two phases. When we are saved, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be like a well inside of us that springs up into everlasting life. That's what happens when you get saved. You receive the Holy Spirit in regenerative power. He comes in and He changes you. A well of living water. That's why old things start passing away and all things start becoming new. Why? The Spirit is inside of you. We would never ever say, at least I hope that we would never say, maybe there's some that do, but it's wrong. We would never say that someone that is not filled with the Holy Ghost and doesn't speak in tongues is not saved. We should never say that. It's not true. Everyone that receives Jesus receives the Spirit of Jesus in them. They are seeing the Spirit work in them in that life-changing fashion. You know, I have people all the time tell me, you know, I get lights in my eye. Sorry, come down this far, Pastor. Okay, I won't go any further, I promise. I've had people say to me, you know, I just need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because, well, I just need to be a better husband. Or I just need to be a better wife. Or I need to be a better employee at my job. Or I need to be more faithful. I need to be a better father. Listen, you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost to be a better husband or be a better wife. That's what you got saved for. Yeah. Holy Spirit comes in you and begins to change you. Jesus said that the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you at your baptism to make you powerful witnesses for Jesus. It's the power of God inside of you. Well, He said that the Holy Spirit comes in us as a well that transforms us and changes us. But then in John chapter 7, Jesus said this Holy Spirit will be like a river that flows out of us. At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into us and changes us. But at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that second great work of grace, if you will. That second great work of God, the Spirit of God begins to well up inside of us until he cannot be contained by these mere mortal bodies of ours. And he begins to flow out of us in a life-giving river that brings effectiveness in our witness and brings effective in our ministry for God and begins to bring life and healing and wholeness wherever it goes. It is that great work of God. What we have just read in Acts chapter 8, that Philip is down preaching in Samaria of all places. And the people are believing and Peter is baptizing them in the name of Jesus. And they are being born again. But then the disciples come and pray for them because they had, it says they had not yet received the Spirit. Well, what's it talking about? It's not saying they haven't yet received the Spirit. It's saying they have not yet been baptized in Holy Spirit. Well, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's great gift. It's God's great passion. It's God's great desire for us. And I believe tonight around this altar in just a few moments that there is going to be a wind of God that blows. You know, I'm confident of that because I know Father's heart. Father's heart is that every one of his children be filled with Holy Ghost. The Bible says, if you fathers have a son and they ask for bread, you won't give them a stone. If they ask for fish, you won't give them a snake. If you then, though you were evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to his children when they ask? That's a heart of the Father. Listen, Did I ever mention, Pastor, that I have six grandsons? I didn't mention that.
I
have six grandsons. Six. Six. I don't know how to count, but I have six. Six. It takes a man to have six grandsons. Six. And I'm not even trying. Six. In fact, we like them so much, we put our foot down a while ago and said, we're not stopping until we have a granddaughter.
Amen.
We're not stopping.
And now we have a granddaughter. We like it so much, we're going to go ahead and have another one. As soon as we get somebody to cooperate. Six grandsons. Do you have Hess gas stations here? Remember, you have Hess gas stations?
We actually do.
Hess gas stations. Well, we have Hess gas stations in New Jersey. And every year at Christmas, I go out to the Hess gas station. And I buy a Hess truck for each one of my grandsons. And one for me. But I never open mine. I put it in the closet. It's part of my overall retirement portfolio. It's going to be lean. I haven't figured out that I'll be able to retire at the age of 340. As long as I don't live more than another year past that. But every year I go out and get those trucks, and I can't wait to get. My wife has to take them and hide them because I want to give it. I don't want to wait to. I want to give it to them. I am so excited about it. You know, when they come in, you know, it's like I want to just give it to them. I can't wait. That Christmas morning, I get those trucks and I give it to them. There is nothing like watching them open up that box and slap those batteries in it and start flicking the light. The lights start blinking and sirens start blowing. You see the look in their eyes. I would spend my last dime to buy them another one. And if a little old fat grandfather can get such joy out of giving his grandsons a Hess truck, then how much more will the Heavenly Father delight in giving his children the Holy Spirit? It's God's great provision for his people. It's God's great provision for the church. In the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He said, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face." How do you think of that scripture? Now we see through a glass darkly. We are just experiencing the deposit, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. It is God's down payment, this Holy Ghost baptism. It's God's down payment, but it's God giving us a closer. It's as if God is drawing us close to the glass and allowing us to press it. Pastor Mike and I grew up in Trenton. Remember Staten Broad? Amen. We used to go to Staten Broad. It's a downtown. I mean, it doesn't compare with the land. But we did have two main streets. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Staten Broad. Staten Broad was where everybody waited for buses. You know, you wait for the bus to get home. And, you know, you go downtown on a Sunday or on a nice, bright, sunny morning, and all the big plate glass windows got their little scenes in there. They work inside of that to make them really attractive, to try to get your attention, to get you to go in there. But if you go down there when the sun is shining really bright, the fact is you don't see anything on the inside. All you see is yourself. You know? And so everybody kind of like walks like this. You know, you guys just, and everybody acts like they're looking what's inside, but everybody knows you can't see what's inside of there. All you can see is yourself. But if you want to get a good look, in fact, I remember one time, can I tell a story? Oh, thank you. One time, I went down to state, but I was probably 14, something like that, about 20 years ago. I was about 14. And I went downtown to get a new pair of shoes. And I got, you know, leather soles. I mean, these things were like ice skates, you know, so you walk down the street like this. Whoa. And I was standing at the corner of State and Broad, where all the buses come. And I have my bag. I got my new shoes on. And there was a whole bunch of girls standing on each side of me. You know, and you want to look cool. You've got your new shoes on. And so I kind of leaned back against the glass with my new leather-soled shoes on. And all of a sudden, whoop! Boom! The next thing I know, I'm sitting down on my sidewalk. And the girls that are standing next to me go like this. So hard to be cool when you're 14. Leather soles. But you know, you walk down State and Broad and you see all the windows inside, but all you see is your reflection. If you really want to look at what's inside, you got to start walking up closer to it. And as you get closer to it, you begin to focus on your shadow, your reflection. And as you focus on your reflection, you can begin to see what is on display on the inside. And the closer you get, the more you see what's on display. And if you want to get a really good look, you press your nose up against the glass. And then you cup your hands around your eyes. And all of a sudden, you don't see anything else. You don't see yourself. You don't see the people that are walking all around you. You don't see the buses going by and the taxi cabs flying on the sidewalk. You don't. All you see is what is on side for you to see. Paul said, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." The fullness of the Holy Spirit, God's down payment, draws us close to the glass. and causes us to begin to press in to the things of God, to begin to see the glory of God. The fullness of the Holy Spirit brings revelation. Yes. Of Jesus. It brings revelation. We begin to see Him like we've not seen Him. Now, can I just make another qualifier? It doesn't mean that we see Him better than somebody else sees Him that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost. This is, please understand me tonight. I'm not talking about the haves and the have not yet. I'm talking about us. When we press in to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, God begins to draw us close to the glass, begins to give us revelation so that we see Him like we've never seen Him before. We begin to understand Him like we've never understood Him before. We begin to get revelation of the way that He talks and the way that He looks and the way that He acts and the way that He feels about things. He begins to reveal Himself to us. And as we do, we begin to lose focus on ourselves. One of the hardest things in ministry is to get yourself out of the way. To lose focus about yourself. What you look like, what you sound like, what you're saying. It's to get in close so that you lose focus on yourself and all you see is what God wants to reveal to you of Himself. The fullness of God's Spirit for each one of us is to draw us into a place where He can reveal Himself to us. I got to stop real quickly. Here, let me turn this page over. Why do we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit? First of all, it is a necessary part of our spiritual foundation. It strengthens us in our walk with God. It brings that revelation so that we know who God is, so that our spiritual lives are strengthened. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if there was ever a day that the church needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to strengthen our walk with God, it's today. He strengthens us to make us overcomers. Baptism in the Holy Spirit and being filled and remaining filled with the Spirit is God strengthening us in our spiritual foundations to give us power to live overcoming, victorious lives. The Spirit of God is inside of us to give us strong foundations, to cause our steps to be straight, to give us clarity in our understanding. The Holy Spirit brings us, the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings us into God's supernatural power. It begins to focus the power of God into us. It begins to take all that God is and begin to flow through us. Look at the disciples. Before Pentecost, they were cowardly. They ran when Jesus was taken from them. They were bickering and fault finding. They were always worrying about who was going to be the greatest and who was going to be first. They had dullness in their understanding of God. But when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden cowardliness was transformed into a boldness that was beyond their natural inclinations. Their dullness of the scriptures and of revelation suddenly became light, enlightened. They suddenly understood and saw the way the scriptures began to work together. And they were bold to speak. Instead of being people that were always looking out for themselves and how they could be first, they were men and women that humbled themselves. And it didn't matter. They would give up their very lives for the cause of the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to make us effective in our witness. It helps to purify our lives. Gives us power over the impurities of the world. Oh, let me tell you something. You look at our society today, and you look at the attack upon the moral fiber of this nation, and you look at seeing what is taking place in our schools at the very earliest of years, the perversion and the ungodliness and the impurity that is continually breathed upon them, the mockery of everything that is righteous and everything that is moral and everything that is godly is frowned upon, is ridiculed. And we have a generation that are growing up. Something on television, one of the Christian channels, just a few weeks ago, and they were interviewing young people from over in Europe about God? Do you go to church? What do you think about church? And every one of them said, what? Why would we want to do that? We have any interest in that. That's irrelevant for the day. And America is not much further behind. We're moving in that, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit today more than ever before. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us strength to resist the onslaught of the impurities and the immoralities and the perversion that this world has to offer. It gives us power over strongholds in our life. Paul talked about that in the book of Corinthians. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness and high things. He says it gives us power to demolish strongholds. That's the power of the Spirit of God. To listen, we talk about spiritual warfare and demolishing strongholds, and sometimes we think it's all about out there. And it is about out there, but it's not just about out there. There are strongholds that the enemy builds up in our lives. They're just patterns of thinking that the enemy puts in our minds. They're thought process and thought patterns and that he keeps bombarding our minds with until he brings up such strongholds in our lives that we are in such bondage that there's no freedom in our lives at all. The fullness of the Holy Ghost gives you power to demolish strongholds, to bring every thought into subjection to the knowledge of God, to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm almost done. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop, but I am almost done. Jude tells us that the fullness of the Holy Spirit strengthens us in our faith. We pray in the Holy Spirit, strengthening, building ourselves up in the most holy faith. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, it gives us power to pray in the will of God. There are sometimes we don't know what we should pray for. But the Holy Spirit fullness takes us into a new dimension, a higher dimension of prayer and intercession that we could never, ever achieve in our own might, our own power, and our own thinking processes. For the Spirit begins to pray through us in words that cannot be expressed in that heavenly language and lifts us up, and we begin to pray according to the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says that it brings us into a deeper intimacy with God. He says we speak to God. He that speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but speaks to God. And there's a development of intimacy in our heart and lives with God. It increases the revelation of God's word in our lives. And Isaiah says it brings rest to our souls. I'm going to stop there. I got three more pages, but I'm going to stop. I believe tonight that the Father God has brooded over this service and over this gathering for us today, five services. And I believe Father God has just been, is it all right to say chomping at the bit? I don't know if that's, he's just been anxious. I think sometimes Father God has been saying, Fisher, will you please get to the end of this thing? Because I want to bring my children into a place of fullness. I want to bring them to a place of encounter with me that is going to lift them beyond the natural realm and bring them into a realm of the Spirit. Holy Spirit power. If you're here tonight and you've never experienced this fullness of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that this is your night. The Father looks at you, desires to pour out himself upon you. Salvation, the whole purpose of salvation is not just that we would be forgiven of sin, but the purpose of salvation was that we could become vessels that have been cleaned so that God can pour his Spirit into them. So we can be containers or channels, maybe is a better way, that we could be channels for the Spirit to flow through. And if you've not experienced that tonight, tonight's your night. We're going to pray. Now, when I say tonight's your night, I'm saying tonight is the night to begin to press into God and to say, God, I receive the fullness of the Spirit. Now, whether it issues forth tonight while we're praying for you in the flowing of the gift of tongues or not, Jesus said it this way. How much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost than an old fat grandfather will give Hess trucks to his children? And so he says, if you ask, you'll receive. Now that tells me that if I ask, I should receive. Huh? And so either God is untrue, or if I ask, I'm going to receive. And so then I'm going to begin to accept that by faith. I'm going to begin to take that. I'm going to begin to move in that. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to stop begging. I'm going to stop pleading. I'm going to stop, trying to listen to the devil to tell me all the reasons why I haven't received it. I'm just going to simply say, no, this is my Father. This is my Father. And he delights in giving it. My grandkids don't have to jump through hoops to get a Hess truck. I don't make them beg. I don't make them plead. In fact, I'm like, I can't wait to open it. Now, let me help you with that. I want to give it to them more, I think, than they want to receive it. Your Heavenly Father wants you to receive the Holy Spirit more than we want to receive it. That's the passion of Father. And so that tells me that if I ask him, then I receive. Now I'm beginning to step out in faith in that. I begin to believe in that. I begin to sense, if I sense something well, a word, a sentence, a syllable beginning to well up inside of me, then I present it to him. I offer it to him. I offer that word to him. I offer that sentence or that syllable to him. And the Holy Spirit takes it. The Holy Spirit takes it and blesses it and breathes upon it, presents it to the Father. We make too much out of this thing. We make it too hard. We think somehow we're supposed to stand there and God comes inside of us and grabs our mouth and opens it and grabs our tongue and makes it say things. Come on. Let me tell you something. We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues through us, but he doesn't speak in tongues. We do. We do. It's a step of faith. I offer those words to God in praise. I walk. Offer them in faith. And the Heavenly Father, who will not allow the devil to give me a stone when I ask for bread, will not allow the devil to give me a snake when I ask for fish, will not allow the devil to give me something evil or false when I'm coming to my loving Father to ask for what he has promised to give me. And so I ask, and then I offer that expression of worship and praise in faith. And then I go on. I go home and I begin to thank God for the fullness of his Spirit. I wake up in the morning and I begin to thank God for the fullness of his Spirit. If I just got a little word, if I just got a little sentence, if I just got a little syllable, I just keep presenting it to God. Yes. I just keep presenting it to God. And God knows what my spirit is saying. God knows what this Holy Ghost is giving unction to inside of me. And he is rejoicing in it. Yes. He is having passion in his heart towards us because we're speaking in intimacy to him in that holy language. And then I go through the day just worshiping him. And whenever I have the opportunity to just speak that word to him again, and that word just suddenly, all of a sudden begins to grow. You know, back when Pastor Mike and I were young, I was a little bit older than him. Just very little bit. But I was like a spiritual leader to him. Well, maybe not. We used to have times, incredible times at the altar. Remember that, Pastor Mike? Incredible times. Sometimes we would go at the altar on Sunday night and not leave until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. There were many times that our parents would just kind of help us out to the cars, get us home after 2 in the morning because we had to get up the next morning. And you know what? Can I just say something to you? Thank God for all the young people, the children that are here. I thank God that you are here. Thank God for you parents. Let me tell you something. They will never miss this little bit of sleep that they give up to being in the house of God. And God will impart something into their spirit just by osmosis, just by being in the crowd. He will impart something in their spirit that will take them beyond anything that television could do or an extra hour of sleep could do. Let me tell you something. I thank God for you. I thank God for you that you've brought your children out to the house of God tonight. And there were just times that the presence of God would just begin to flow inside of us. And we would pray for one another. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of, I don't know if you remember, we didn't have a whole lot of instruction, you know. We're just kids. We're just kids praying for each other. We didn't have a whole. We didn't have anybody tell us how to do it, how not to do it. And so we would get around. We would coach people. Yell louder! Yell louder! Here it comes! Yell louder! You know, we'd get these poor kids just screaming their little guts out. I remember too. All you had to do was say Kawasaki wrong. And somebody'd slap you in the back and say, okay, you got it. That's what happened to me. You know, I have no idea what I did. Somebody slapped me in the back and said, okay, you got it. I said, oh, thank God. Yeah. I couldn't take too many more of these back massages, you know, and judo chops to the back of the head, you know. And once I stopped worrying about it.
That's it. That's it right there.
I started going around praying for other people. And all of a sudden, I noticed that holy language is flowing. So I don't know exactly when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. All I know that is once I stopped worrying about the dynamics of how to do it, I just began to flow. You know, that's why we've come up with all those wacko type of things that we do. You know, say Honda, 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 Suzuki, Suzuki, Kawasaki. Say, see my new bow tie, you know. You know,
not here.
No, thank God. Thank God most of our churches are getting away from that. But even in the midst of all that wacko stuff, God still filled some of his people with the Holy Ghost. And so I pray and I say, God, would you fill me? And Father says, child, I've been waiting all your life to fill you.
Amen.
All I wanted you to do was come over Christmas morning so I could give it to you. To come and receive. And so Father says to you tonight, come and receive. Come and receive. If you've not received this infilling yet, come and receive tonight. If you're like Pastor Mike said earlier, you've leaked and you've become dry and you need a refreshing in the Spirit, come. Come to Father tonight and receive. Everybody stand with me all over. I told you it wasn't going to be that long. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands, everybody, all over the room. Let's begin to welcome him. Let's begin to welcome him now. At the very beginning of this service, we welcome the Holy Spirit to come. We welcome him to come. And now we're welcoming him to come and move in our hearts and to move in our lives as individuals. We're welcoming him to rise up inside of us. We're coming to Father tonight. Listen, you're coming to your heavenly Father tonight. You're coming to one that does not need to be persuaded and does not need to be coerced. He's not going to call us to jump through hoops. He just said, come, my children. Come, my children, and receive tonight. There is power. There is revelation. There's glory tonight from Heavenly Father. So come on, let's just begin to welcome him right now. Come, Holy Spirit, here I am.